Hello, I'm Ben Baker, and welcome to a brand new...
Oh no, he's broken again.
Oh, I'm Ben Baker, and welcome to a brand new episode of Don't Let's Chat. She's definitely new and not...
No, still broken. I'm gonna give him a kick.
Oh, hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to a brand new Don't Let's Chat with me, Ben Baker.
And me, Phil Cattrall. Hello.
And this one's going to be great. This is the one where Phil finally juggles fire.
Yep.
There's going to be the top 10 nude ladies in my bed. And, of course, a big old sellout to Zyklon B, the gas of the future.
What the fuck?
So let's go.
Oh, dear. I think... I have to take you offline for maintenance. So what we'll do is we'll rerun the best of episodes 5 through 9. Give us time to get you fixed.
On the buses. They enjoy that. This is a good programme. Very funny.
Because you are clearly broken.
Daisy is my favourite character in space.
I mean, that's fair.
Casper, I didn't think there was that much market for, you know, a small ghost boy.
It's mattresses, Ben. You know it's mattresses. You've heard enough podcasts to know that it's Casper mattresses.
Ghost mattress, you say?
No, not a ghost mattress.
Well, it's been haunted by a mattress. Ooh, I am the ghost of former comfort.
It's got springs sticking out everywhere.
Yeah. So what is the first chart we're going to look at today?
The worst Hanna-Barbera characters.
Yeah.
you did specifically exclude Scrappy-Doo from the list, which I think was wise. It would have been a runaway puppy massacre.
That was a pre-cert video. One of the video nasties.
It was another Yogi Bear spin-off, except, you know, instead of just being in his balloon, he was dumping sacks of puppies over the side of the balloon. That's what's happening
there. Of course, Sir John Slimer, originally big businessman in New York City, died tragically whilst trying to eat 18 hot dogs at once.
That is what he was known for.
These are the 10 biggest Hanna-Barbera jerks.
Yep.
As voted for by the listeners of this programme. At 10.
10 is Hey with 3 Y's. It's the King.
Hey, it's the King. He is a triple threat of humour and hijinks. Starring the King and his bunch of real cool characters.
I'm not familiar with this one, Ben. Can you...
Basically, they went, hey, Happy Days is popular. That Fonz is a character. Why don't we make him into a lion?
Oh, now I do remember. Yes, God.
I think it was part of...
It's the CB Bears. Boogie, Hustle and Bump, Mobile Mystery Solvers.
That's the thing I had about Hanna-Barbera. They just jumped on as many trends as they could.
I don't understand why they did this.
Of course, remade in the 2000s as the Ouya Bears. Or Nokia Engage, if you prefer. Number 9!
Number 9, the Funky Phantom.
We were cold and soaking wet and lost out in a storm. We went inside a spooky house just hoping to get warm.
Three teenagers and their dog solve mysteries. I mean, it sounds very original to begin with.
Yeah, that's good.
With the help of two ghosts from the 18th century.
There we go.
1971, so very much the peak of the funk.
Well, it was the cartoon that they were prepping for the bicentennial, weren't they? That was the, did it run until 1976, Ben? No, I bet it didn't.
No. At 8.
At 8. Speed Buggy. You have to wonder how many people would just went, can we not make a cartoon out of that?
You can imagine Ian Hanna comes in and goes, I got this great idea for a cartoon. I saw a car, and let's have Car, the animated series.
I got carried away.
Moving on to 7.
Dick Dastardly.
as villains go, I feel he should have been a little bit higher.
I occasionally have some sympathy for Dick Dastardly. He is a villain, but even when he's about to win, he has to just make somebody else's life a little bit worse, and therefore he fails.
They've got all the technology in the world. He employs a dog.
I mean, I still don't understand how. Just shoot it. Collect its remains, and then you can look at the message it's carrying. Just shoot it.
You don't have the word collect his remains in enough Hanna-Barbera themed. If all these other podcasts can make a living out of it, or at the very least make, you know, some free crisps out of it, then why shouldn't me and him get in on the act?
I do like crisps.
But in case you're concerned, that it's not in any way going to affect the content of the programme, which will be exactly the same as before. And as such, what's our first chart today, Phil?
Our first chart today, Ben, is the top 15 podcast advertisers.
Cool. Let's go in reverse order. At 15.
Progressive.
Oh, I love them. They're my best ones. 14.
Stamps.com.
Love them. No more thunks.net for me.
Yep.
13.
13. Care/of.
Oh, flipping heck. The best ones. Couldn't believe it. 12.
Third Love.
Oh, yeah. Fellow with big hair from the Roots. Yeah, love him. Brilliant. 11.
11. Skillshare.
Oh, they're the best skills, mate. Excellent skills and sharing. Together at last.
Yep.
Number 10.
Casper.
Top Ghost. Number 9.
Madison Reed.
Oh, yeah. Don't Call Me Baby. Brilliant song. Yeah, fantastic. Number 8.
Zenny Optical.
The computer of Blake 7. Eyes. Show or not. 7.
Robin Hood.
The animated one, I assume. That is the best film. You can be sure of it. 6.
Quip.
A little sincerity is a dangerous thing, and a great deal of it is absolutely fatal.
Cool.
5.
Simply Safe.
Holding back the years.
Together at last.
4.
4. Squarespace.
Love Percy's squares. All of them brilliant. 3.
Indeed.
Indeed! 2.
Geico.
Geico, Girlco, as long as they're paying. And at number 1, the most big advertiser on podcast today,
ZipRecruiter.
The spaceman of the future.
Sure. It says the original was a green blob of onion-scented ectoplasm.
Did it, at any point, I know they call it onion head, but did it ever say he smells of onion?
Well, that's what's confusing me here, because I don't recall anyone at any point in the film going, oh, it stinks of onion.
Oh, do you remember that graffiti all around the UK in 1984? Slimer stinks of onion. IDST. 6.
Squiddly Diddly.
Do you know much about Squiddly Diddly?
Only that he's a squid.
And he did.
He definitely did.
He's a squid, and he did.
He's an aspiring musician who makes many attempts to escape and attain musical stardom. He's in an aquatic park called Bubble Land.
5.
The New Shmoo. So I've heard New Shmoo as a punchline, but I don't know who the New Shmoo is. Can you help me out, Ben?
New Shmoo do. Canoe do what the Shmoo do. Does he do voodoo? Do? Number 4.
Number 4, Yogi Bear. I'm on board with this. He should have been higher.
Because he's a dick.
He is.
If you are planning to feed a bear, just go up a bit close to it. Check if it's got a collar and a necktie. If so, proceed. If not, you will get your arm burnt off.
Werner Herzog did not make a directory called Yogi Bear Man.
At 3!
Inch High Private Eye. Yep, worthless. If you've got a tiny private eye that's investigating your affairs, you can just drop kick him out of a window, can't you? There's no...
Also, nobody wants a tiny private eye because it'll mean reading Coleman balls very hard with a magnifying glass. At 2!
Captain Caveman.
Again, I'm not entirely sure why. Was there a rising caveman trend?
I can't remember that. No.
Or unless you count the Ringo Starr cinematic disaster Caveman, probably not. What was number one?
Number one is Godzuki.
Godzuki. It's the correct way of saying it.
I'm very sorry. From the Godzilla cartoon. Godzuki is, of course, canon, as we all know, just like Brock.
obviously, they made this attempt at sort of rebranding Godzilla for an animated sort of teen and youth market as kind of Godzilla sort of lumbers in to help.
I mean, it's not that strange. He's frequently a protagonist in the films, from what I understand. Godzuki was also there.
Tarby, Little E, Large E, Nicholas E, Witchily, you know, all the favourites. But there were no more prevalent TV stars in 1987 than Terry Waite. Now, I don't know why he was on telly so much back then. Somewhat on Wikipedia, but with so many words.
There was a good reason, yeah.
For a bit of holiday fun, I've stuck him in 10 programmes from 1987 and I replaced certain words with Terry Waite. And right. You have to tell me what the replaced words are.
God.
It's a bit of holiday fun. It's 87. It's fun.
Yeah, no.
Number one. An old favourite returns to TV after a decade-long break as Terry Waite says opportunity knocks.
Is it Bob Monkhouse, Ben?
This is Bob, that's fine. That's
sorry.
Number two, the furry puppet alien from Melmac, Terry Waite, first appeared on ITV this year.
I don't recall Terry Waite eating a lot of cats.
maybe that's why he was on the news.
Could have been why he was on the news, Ben. It was Alf.
It was Alf, correct. Number three, BBC One debuts Terrying for Waite, a general knowledge quiz in which the winner gets to go to the 1988 Summer Olympics in Seoul.
I don't know this one. Oh, hang on, it's going for gold, isn't it?
It's going for gold. And do you know who won that first series of Going for Gold?
No.
It was Daphne from Eggerts.
Oh, the worst one.
Four, Time Tees begins 24-hour broadcasting. It does so by launching a Terry Waite Finder service, which broadcasts until 6 a.m.
God, he could have really done with that. Job Finder.
Yes, this is Job Finder World. Five, in front of 93,000 fans, Terry Waite retains a WWF Heavyweight Championship at WrestleMania 3 against Andre the Giant.
You've changed nothing there. That's what happened. I remember it well.
No, isn't that? I presume that's why he's famous.
Is it Hulk Hogan, Ben?
It was Hulk Hogan. Yeah. Well done. Six, the BBC launched a new sitcom, The Terry Waite Show, about a well-meaning but trouble-prone pirate radio DJ named Talbot Waitkins.
Is it the Lenny Henry Show, Ben?
Yes, it's the Lenny Henry Show. Well done.
God.
Let's do our top five of things we actually did do. One, Big Burger.
Yeah.
Had that burger.
Annie's Burger Shack, yeah.
That was good. Had a burger. He's had pancakes in it.
Yeah.
Two, pub.
Pub. We did do a pub.
Did pub. Went to a pub.
It wasn't a pub, though, was it? It was a cinema.
It was a cinema.
We went to the Broadway cinema. Yeah, well, pint, course, yeah. That's what you do. There. If you want a pint, go to the cinema.
I went for a dump. There was a big poster of Frank Sidebottom in there promoting the new documentary. It was like...
I was going to say, did that help the process upon. Along? Is that?
Oh, you know, I'm very relaxed around the estate of Chris Stevens, I guess. Three, we went taxi.
Yeah, we did.
To your house.
Yep.
Four, your house.
Yeah.
And five,
Avengers Endgame.
Yeah, we watched Avengers. I highly recommend the fifth best thing to do in Nottingham is Avengers Endgame. It's quite long.
I called him a ponce, and now I'm calling you one. Ponce!
I have a heart condition. If you hit me, it's murder.
It's a slow boil cult hit one, isn't it, rather than...
Yeah. And did you know, as a trivia fact, the I of the title, his actual name is Ian I.
No, it's not.
Sorry, it's Adam I from Live and Kicking.
His name is the Eighth Doctor, and that's an end to it.
So we very quickly put out a plea: vote for your bottom 10 double acts. At 10!
We've got a tie at 10.
Okay.
Romeo and Juliet.
They're not known for the gags, you know.
Neither successful nor long-running. One.
No. Someone could say very short.
One of them went solo very briefly.
They're tied with
Noble and Silver, which many listeners may not remember.
Deep cut, that one.
It is.
Yeah, Noble and Silver were a double act, faded very sort of late 90s, early 2000s. They were weird. They were kind of even weirder than the Boosh. They did kind of performance pieces, didn't they?
There was a lot of fourth wall breaking going on.
Yes.
In really confusing ways.
Yeah, and they did a... it was an E4 series, Noble and Silver, Get Off Me.
Yeah.
Which is... I remember watching it at the time and going... Why is anyone paying for this?
Yeah, I remember watching it and thinking, that's very clever. I'm not enjoying it.
Yeah. 9.
Hoddle and Waddle.
I love you, I always wanted you. I liked it. So, Glenn Hoddle and Chris Waddle.
Yep.
The footballers. I like Diamond Lights. I think it's a really good, ridiculous novelty pop song for two footballers. Considering most football songs go, oh, we're going over there. And then we are gonna score some goals, and then we'll probably come back on an organised coach,
and then
we'll go and string fellows and have a fight.
And then there's a rap.
I am football, Ian Boots. I would like to go to Boots. No, don't work.
I mean, I think
I'm not as good as John Barnes.
You're not in any respect.
No.
8. Mark Little and Zoe Ball. This is another deep cut. I think they hated each other, Mark Little and Zoe Ball, which is why their tenure didn't necessarily last.
Okay, 7.
7. Noel and Liam Gallagher. I mean, as people, I agree that they're not great on various levels.
I think of all the people here, they're the only ones who probably got single, which was just them arguing.
Yeah.
A Wibbling Rivalry EP that came out in 95 and Fierce Panda. But it was two coked up tossers in the 20s saying, no, you're a knobhead. No, I actually think that our mum says that you're a knobhead. And it's like, all right, well, my mum says you're a knobhead. Let's move on quickly to 6.
6. Horn and Corden.
Fairly forgotten, I would say now, as a sketch double act.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if James Corden's management company has tried to make sure that it's been forgotten in a sort of let's pretend that Derek was never about making fun of disabled people sort
yes.
of way.
Yeah. Number 5.
Foster and Allen.
I stabbed a boy in the eyes.
Stop there now.
What? Old Paddy McGinty had a horse and he had sexual relations with
it. No, we've got... I mean, Foster and Allen just strike me as that's not for me. Horn and Corden, you can say objectively, were bad.
Yeah, although I would quite like to swap their careers for a bit.
What, you wanted 50 years of Horn and Corden and a sketch show with Foster and Allen?
Yeah, I would pay for
and
that
one. One of Foster and Allen, let's say, goes to America. What so I'm saying is, Ben, I don't think you've thought through this Freaky Friday scenario you've envisaged.
Oh my god, can you imagine they're both holding like an Incan totem? Some electric, like, scars on the other one. Ooh,
all,
just happens.
All four of them peed in the same fountain, and that's
that's the one.
4.
4.
It's Cannon and Ball. Now, Ben has opinions on Cannon and Ball that apparently many of our listeners do not share.
I do. I genuinely think Cannon and Ball are two of the best entertainers that has ever existed. I think they were manic and funny and clever in a way that not only did mainstream audiences like, but alternative people. Rick Mail turns up in, like, Series 6 or something to do a sketch with him.
Good job you stopped me then. I could have killed your wife then.
Yeah, you can just remember the cheesy Thor show and the Boys in Blue.
I was going to say.
Which is not a good film. It does have an amazing end theme.
What do you
we
think
are
about...
the Boys in Blue. Woo, 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 woo.
And of course, many people remember them from Plaza Patrol.
Nobody will remember them from Plaza Patrol, with good reason. And indeed, Callum Ball's Casino wasn't a good idea either. But when they were just doing the act... I like them very much, and, you know, fair play.
I think the problem is that more people will remember the more recent stuff, and the more recent stuff was Gash.
what?
It wasn't Gash.
No, Gash. Not the short-lived topical satire program. Although I would have liked to have seen them on that. What? It's William Eggs. Bald. It looks like a bum. Hey, you can't say bum on telly, Bobby. So yeah, Cannonball, not popular with everyone, but you're wrong and you're all idiots. Not that I want to be castigating anyone in particular, but I hope you die soon. At three,
Jedward.
Fair enough. Yeah. So, I don't know. I don't think they did anything wrong. I think they did everything right. Like, they market themselves as, look at these two idiots, and they were idiots.
I think, again, sort of compare and contrast with Cannonball. Cannonball, if you've seen the bad stuff, they're bad. If you've seen the stuff you like, they're good, and Rick Mail and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Jedward, I don't object to them existing, but no. I don't think they've done anything.
I think I'm more defensive of Cannonball because you can see they went through the clubs, they did all the dives in England, you know, they did like your working men's circuit and stuff like that. They had to build the act and stuff like that. And
until they reached the point where they could afford all that cocaine.
And then they turned to Jesus. I'm fascinated by the idea of Cannonball as cokeheads. Just like, just what they were doing. Like, Bobby! I'm trying to light a cigarette from this car exhaust. Imagine if Cannonball and Richard Pryor's careers had swapped. Who knows what could have happened?
I think there's many reasons that wouldn't be the case. Let's move on before you start to expound on some of those reasons.
I hope the next one's not Richard Pryor and Gene Wilder. Because one of them's blind.
No!
I've seen the documentary film, Idiot. See no evil, hear no evil.
Yeah.
No.
And then there was all that time they both spent in prison.
Yeah, it was very unlucky when you think about it. And I think just got rid of that chocolate factory. Another one just fought off Superman 3. So, you know, it was just hard times for him. Number two!
The Crankies.
I get it. They're getting very old school again.
And you're going to point out that they do have a sense of humour about themselves.
Yes, having appeared in French and Saunders quite a bit.
And other stuff as well. So you can crop up as punchlines, knowing that that's what they're turning up as.
Yes. But I get that those, if you try and watch the Crankiest electronic comic and what have you, yeah, with all K's.
That's its
own problem. Good job it wasn't called the Crankiest Collectronic Comic.
You know what the penthouse is, don't you?
Is that one of them mucky magazines that Granny thought you were?
I saw them on the Real Marigold Hotel thing that they do, where they send like celebrities out to India and stuff like that. And I just thought it was disgusting that Ian went out there with his wife and poor Jimmy had to stay at home, didn't get invited at all. And I bet he smashed place up as well with his catapult.
Listeners, we all knew this joke was coming. Let's just give it a moment of silence. Move on.
And our final terrible double act duo / experience, and based on the names I saw that come in, I don't think there's any surprise on this one.
Little and Large. I think there'll be no controversy on that one.
No,
at all.
Someone said, I'm not sure between Cannonball or Little and Large. I said, well, one of them was beloved, manic, fascinating double act, and the other one did Deputy Dog. So make of that what you will.
There were a lot of Deputy Dog impressions.
Oh, it's a lot.
It's your best 80s cartoon that you love, that you think is the best one.
Is it Cannonball, the animated series?
No, it's the raccoons. It's the raccoons.
Right, I'm off. Ben. I'm leaving. Sorry, I'm not prepared to deal with this.
Now, look. In the raccoons' favour, the closing credits song, Run
With
Us, that's superb.
As 80s themes go, I suppose it's all right.
On the other side of the equation is literally everything else about the raccoons.
Oh, it was just so... Oh, dude, the environment, and we're so good. Oh, how sanctimonious we are!
It's what happens when you let Canada make a cartoon, apparently.
I love the fact the raccoons comes from, they did some specials in Canada that were really popular.
Yeah.
And they had a character in it that was initially voiced by Leo Sayer.
Is that like the ranger character?
It was Dan the Forest Ranger, yes.
Who is then written out fairly quickly.
Well, he was replaced in a second special by someone even more of the time, and that's Rupert Holmes, singer of Escape / the Peter Clark song.
Of course. That's who all the kids wanted in their cartoons.
Yeah, they were going, hey, hang on.
There's the speaking voice of someone I've never heard speak before.
Can we get, do you think, the man from the failed infidelity song? Can we get him?
So, podcast or on the buses episode.
Okay. Oh, this is going to be dreadful.
Number one, Olive Takes a Trip.
That's going to be on the buses, isn't it?
It is, from series one. Stanley's shocked to learn that Olive is applying for a job as a clippy at his bus company. Because, as we all know, women are... Oh, the worst.
I hate on the buses. I hate it. I hate it.
Two... The Guilty Feminist.
That's a podcast.
It is a podcast, but by Christ, I wish it wasn't on the buses episode. You feminists should have been out here 5 minutes ago.
I don't think anyone involved in the production of On the Buses knew what a feminist was, Ben, even to make fun of. I hate it.
Three. Pastry Pals.
That's got to be on the buses, surely.
No, it's a podcast. A Great British Bake Off podcast. Oh, sorry. But I would let you can imagine Blakey and Stan and the woman with the teeth having a crazy adventures, watching a woman do the cooking because it was, of course, the 60s.
I assumed it was an episode in which Richard Hearn guest starred.
Four. Love Is What You Make It.
That is definitely... And on the buses, definitely.
It is, from series 6. Olive tries to make Arthur jealous by pretending to seduce another man. But hilariously, of course, she can't because she is of suboptimal attractiveness. And therefore, the men must go, curse you.
Do you know, the most depressing thing in that episode capsule there is series 6.
It went further. Number 5. Unexpected Fluids.
God, please tell me that's an episode.
No, it's a podcast. It's a radio on sex show. What's all these fluids? But every week without fail.
Yeah, that's what he was always saying.
6. On the Omnibuses.
That has to be an episode.
It is, from series 7.
Seven.
As the company celebrates its centenary, an overworked Stan falls asleep and is transported to the depot of the past.
I mean, they do say that you die the hero or live long enough to have a time travel episode. That is what they say. So
this coaching all season was meant to be out 5 minutes ago. I bet. I've not seen it, but you know that'll pretty much be it.
Come on, Stan. It's just a couple of gentle women.
7. The Canteen Girl.
Again, episode. Must be an episode.
It is an On the Bus episode, series 4. Blakey has taken a shine to the canteen girl, but what Stan and Jack know is she has a reputation and will go with anyone after a few drinks. So, women, if you're thinking of having a few drinks, you know...
I hate it.
Take a look at your lives.
I just hate it. I don't care if it's a product of its time. I just hate it.
These are the worst. 8. The Last Days of August.
Podcast.
It's podcast. John Ronson looking at the porn industry. Very good. 9. Brew It Yourself.
Episode.
It is an episode, from series 3. Stan plans on brewing his own beer to save money. Trouble is, once he's tasted it, he goes back to work, where Blakey finds that he's drunk and so tries to sack him. So it's up to Jack to find a way for him to pass the test without being caught. Alcoholism.
I have nothing.
And 10. Me 1 versus Me 2 snooker with Richard Herring. Alright, I run out of ideas.
Yeah, okay. I get it. I don't know if you can even call it a podcast. I don't know what it is, but...
The following announcement has been paid for by Globex Incorporated.
Hey, hey! It's your fellow podcaster Eno Gareth Irons here, speaking for my colleague Tom Williamson, representing for Retrospecticus, a Simpsons and History podcast. Principal Baker, Superintendent Catterall, I come bearing a chart. Your mission, should you choose to accept it, is to do a rundown of that steamiest of memes, the steamed ham scene from 22 short films about Springfield. You'll laugh. You'll cry. You'll see the Aurora Borealis at this time of year, at this time of day, in this part of the country, localised entirely within Skinner's Kitchen. 10 times.
This message will self-destruct if not properly stored.
So there you go. Our challenge is the 10 most baffling steamed hams memes on YouTube. 10.
10 is steamed hams, but instead of yawning, Skinner sings Great Gig in the Sky by Pink Floyd.
That is what he's doing.
Okay, yeah. There's a mix of these, of stuff that's really high effort and stuff that's really low effort.
Is there a bit more effort gone into number 9?
Quite a lot more. Number 9 is steamed hams, but it's Hotline Miami. Wow. Hotline Miami, for those who are not familiar, is a video game based on old 16-bit synth music type stuff.
It's basically if you made the film Drive.
Yeah, kind
into
of.
A game.
But what someone has done is redone the entire scene of the steamed hams. It has a section of gameplay where Skinner murders everyone in the Krusty Burger with a gun.
At 8.
At 8, steamed hams, but it's a piano dub.
Well, Seymour, I made it, despite your directions.
Ah, Superintendent Chalmers, welcome. I hope you're prepared for an unforgettable luncheon.
So someone knows the script that well that they can play notes that sound a bit like what's
but it's
on
a
screen.
Tune. That's the it's
oddly fascinating.
It's like an old cinema where they used to play music over it. But yeah,
smashing organ work. At 7.
7. This is one of my favourite ones. Steamed hams, but Skinner dies halfway through.
I can see how that might curtail the scene.
In this one, it gets to the point where Skinner sort of climbs out of his window and runs across the road. He just gets hit by a car and dies. the superintendent sort of comes through the door, sees him, screams, and then wakes up in his bed. It was all a dream.
6.
6. Steamed hams, but Chalmers is obsessively investigative.
Which as a title is enough.
Yeah, every sort of question he asks to expose Skinner's lies is like repeated and edited back in again as though he's cutting into stuff that Skinner's saying. It's subtle, but I like it. It's good.
5.
Steamed hams, but Chalmers is a Blade Runner.
Is that not the story anyway?
Well...
4.
4. Steamed hams, but it's All Star. Oh. I hate it. Three. Steamed hams, but it's the Australian dub.
Get f***ed. You call burgers steamed hams?
Nah, yeah, it's a regional thing, you know?
Yeah, where's that from, mate?
Southeast Queensland?
Yeah, you're telling porkies, mate. I'm from Southport and never heard that in me life.
Yeah, nah, not Southport. It's a Narang thing.
Ah, righto.
Almost lack of effort is almost as funny as lots of effort, isn't it? Number two.
Steamed hams, but every time Skinner lies, he descends 7% more into the netherworld. What that manifests at is every time Skinner tells a lie, there is like a thunderclap noise and the area around him is tinted more and more red. Until by the end, every section of screen that has him in it is very, very red indeed.
Ah, number one, in association with our pals at Retrospecticus.
Steamed hams, except everything goes extremely well. So the oven doesn't catch fire. He decides to go and get the hamburgers anyway. Superintendent Chalmers really enjoys the hamburgers and promotes him to assistant superintendent. that's basically it.
Yeah.
Well, Seymour, I made it. With your excellent directions.
Ah, Superintendent Chalmers, welcome. My roast is mouth-watering. But what if I were to cook hamburgers?
And 24.
This one's very much a game of two halves, Ben.
Oh, yeah?
24's a tie. Prick up your ears.
The story of the life and violent death of British playwright Joe Orton.
Yep. And that's tied with RoboCop, Ben.
In which a terminally wounded cop returns as a powerful cyborg, haunted by submerged memories.
Yeah. Now,
it's very similar, pretty similar. In fact, I would say they're so similar that I've got a little quiz for you, which I call Prick Up Your Ears or RoboCop Fact.
Oh, God.
I've got 5 facts for you, and you've got to tell me if it's about Prick Up Your Ears or RoboCop.
God.
Number one, the original lead actor was to be Ian McKellen.
Right, that's got to be prick up your ears, because as much as I'd like to see Ian McKellen as RoboCop, it doesn't seem to fit.
Let's start that trending now to McKellen from RoboCop remake. Dead or alive, you're coming with me.
You know what? Thinking about it, would you have said 15, 20 years ago, yeah, they've got Ian McKellen as Magneto? No, you probably wouldn't.
They would be not one but two massive franchises.
Yeah. I mean, Gandalf feels like it makes more sense than Magneto does, but, you know, job's a job.
Number two, body count 30.
That's going to be RoboCop, Ben.
It is RoboCop. It could have been. There are a few bodies in Prickett Race. Spoilers.
There are. But I don't think there's RoboCop. 30. Good grief. The life of Joe Orton did not involve 30 corpses.
Number three, the screenplay was written by Alan Bennett.
Well, there is that.
Think about it. Think about it.
There's that long scene where RoboCop's just talking directly to camera while drinking a cup of tea. But no, I think that might be prick up your ears, Ben. I think that one might be that.
Oh, mother, there's an ED-209 attacking me.
You can't roll the Alan Bennett impression out every week and just start it with, oh, mother, every time. You can't keep doing it. I said I'd love to help, but I'm constrained by my directives.
Number four. Mm-hmm. Howard Stern, the very funny DJ from America, made a radio parody called Homo Cop.
That's not even funny.
No. And five, the final one. The shootout at the cocaine factory was not originally meant to be so fast-paced, but the automatic guns kept jamming, necessitating quick cuts, which proved to be advantageous for the scene. The shootout at the cocaine factory was at Prick Up Your Ears or RoboCop.
You're an idiot. It's RoboCop, you idiot.
It is RoboCop. Sadly, it was RoboCop. You have been listening to Dot Let's Chart the Best of Volume 2, and I hope, Kill All Humans, that you've really very much enjoyed this. I'm feeling a lot better. Kill the French ambassador, and until next time, I'm sure Phil will agree with me that everyone should dive! Dive! Dive!
Yeah, we're going to have to work on that some more. Bye, everyone.
Magic bot.
End.
It was in Mystery Men first, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's from the soundtrack of Mystery Men. If you see the video, the cast of Mystery Men are in it.
Did you say Misty Men?
Misty Men. The cast of Amelia Men. Misty Men was, of course, number 11 on the shitty Santa Barbara cartoons. It was three teenagers in a car and some mist. Who said, take the glove compartment.
Steamed hams, but Skinner's mother won't stop screaming.